God, praise God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand tonight. We welcome all of our guests with us. Good to have my mother-in-law and my aunt with us here tonight as well. And just all of our guests that are here. We are especially thankful to have with us Brother and Sister Simmons, who are missionaries to Thailand. And my boy Luke came up to me before service and he said, "Does he speak Thai?" And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure he does." I said, "He has a PowerPoint and we need to get his thumb drive." I said, "Now, thumb drive in Thai is Tiaha Sota." And so when you go up to him, you say, "I need your Tiaha Sota." And he'll hand you his thumb drive. So Luke kind of gave me that look. I don't know why my kids don't believe me when I say things like that. I've proven myself to be trustworthy. So I doubt seriously he did it. He probably just leaned on the English side of Brother Simmons. A wonderful man of God and his wife working for the Lord all of their lives. And in this particular phase of their ministry in Thailand for over 6 years, will you welcome Missionary Simmons to this pulpit? In Jesus' name.
You may be seated tonight. I am. I'm aware that on Wednesday nights in this auditorium there is a time element involved, so I'm not going to take a lot of time to make preliminary statements and things like that, except to say, first of all, I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here tonight to worship and lift up the name of the one true God with you tonight. That comes before everything else is worshiping Jesus. Amen. And then I give honor to your pastor, Brother Kyle, for inviting us to be here in service and for all of his hard work for missions and for the missionaries. All the missionaries love coming to Florida because out of all the different districts, this man right here, we get the best schedules of any other district in the United States of America. We really do. We really do. And it's not just about schedules, but when you're on deputation, that's a big part of it. Praise God. So we're going to take a little trip tonight, and about 10,000 miles away to the other side of the world, to a country by the name of Thailand, the land of smiles. I want to point out that Thailand and Taiwan are two different countries. I've been introduced as the missionary to Taiwan, and people tell us they're praying for Taiwan, and we tell them, well, that's good, keep praying for Taiwan, but don't forget about Thailand, because that's where we are. So they are two different countries. But before we make that journey, I want my wife Mary to come quickly and greet you tonight and speak a little bit of the Thai language so you can understand or so you can hear what it sounds like. And, you know, there was one missionary's wife that he wanted her to come up and do this, and she was very weak in the language, and she was just afraid. He said, "Just count to 50. No one will know." But she's not going to count. She's really speaking Thai. So go ahead. Wait, that's not on. Straight up. Try that.
Sawadika Pinong.
Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Rami Kwam Suk Jamatinina Ka.
We're very happy to be here tonight.
Kapkun Ka Ajan Gap Mam Pai Kin Kao Duigan Wani Aroy Mat.
Thank you, brother and sister Kyle, for taking us to dinner. It was very delicious.
Rao Yao Chisan Kun Gil Gap Pratet Thai.
We want to teach you tonight about Thailand.
Kon Thai Jai Di Mak.
The Thai people are very good-hearted.
Tawa Mai Ru Jak Pra Yesu.
But they don't know the Lord Jesus.
Mai Ru Pra Yesu Pempajal.
They don't know that Jesus is the mighty God.
Mai Mi Pawenya Bodhisut.
They've never received the Holy Ghost.
Ati Tan Pra Yesu Hai Pawenya Bodhisut Tu Kon Thai.
Pray that God would pour His Spirit out on the Thai people.
Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God. It is truly a privilege to worship God with you this evening. I've been a school teacher for many years in a Christian school setting, very much smaller than this, but it's wonderful to see so many young people and students here this evening. And we do a lot of traveling on deputation, and all the way across the country I've been giving a little bit of a testimony, but you're in a special place in the United States because the sun rises first over here, and then it goes an hour later over to the Central, and then to the Rockies, and then to the West Coast where our family is. So when we travel, it's put a whole new meaning on the scripture, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Right.
Because you see, the sun is always rising somewhere.
Right.
It's always setting somewhere.
Right.
And the name of the Lord is being praised continually.
Amen.
Right now, it's tomorrow morning in Thailand.
Right.
They're just getting up to worship God again. So aren't you glad that it's our turn to worship Him and praise Him? Sawadi ka, pajau oi pon, mak mak tisut na ka.
She said, God bless you very, very, very much. Amen. All right. Now, some of these slides tonight you're going to see for about 2 seconds. Just flash by because of the time element, because there's other things I want to focus on. Because of that, but I do want to say thank you, She's for Christ and Young People, for your fundraising and giving. It really does put the go in the gospel. And thank you, ladies, Mother's Memorial, and all of your fundraising and giving. We receive funds every single year for our Bible college, for ministerial training, for leadership training, and things like that. And, of course, most of you probably already know that the ladies' department provides appliances for all the missionaries, so we don't have to spend time raising funds for that. Thailand is located in Southeast Asia. It's about the same size as our state of Texas. And 65 million people live in the country of Thailand, and very, very few of them know the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the capital city of Bangkok. The population of not Thailand, but of just the city of Bangkok, is larger than 160 countries in the world, and that's because over 12 million souls are living in that city. Now, if you go home tonight and Google the population of Bangkok or look it up in an almanac, it's not going to say 12 million. It'll probably say 6 or 7, maybe 8 million. But the reality is that everybody from all over the country comes to Bangkok to work because that's where all the jobs are. And they may not be counted as living there by the census takers because they weren't born there, they're not registered to vote there. And they may return to their home once, at the most twice a year, to visit family and friends. But 360 days out of the year, there are indeed in excess of 12 million people living in that city. If you were to get right in the center of the city at the top of a tall building, this is the basic view you would have. Every direction you look, 360 degrees, as far as your eye could see, and that would depend upon how bad the smog was that day. Just a multitude of skyscrapers and high-rises and apartment buildings and condominiums, houses and homes and shanties representing millions and millions of people. Now, down in the southern part of the country, it's a very beautiful area, all sorts of beaches and great fishing, great scuba diving, things like that. Many, many islands down there on both sides of the peninsula. Some of them are very small and uninhabited. Others are larger and have small villages and towns on them. Millions of people come to Thailand every year on vacation, not only from other parts of Asia, but from Europe and from here in America. And tourism now is the number one income earner for Thailand. Up in the central part of the country, the north, the northeast, it also has its own beauty, the hills and the mountains and the rivers and streams and things like that. Sometimes you can be driving up in that air and you'll come around a curve, and off in the distance through the valley will be hundreds and hundreds of acres of rice paddies terraced on the sides of the hills. And if you're there at the right time of the day, the sun will be reflecting off of the water that's in those rice paddies. Very, very beautiful area. 95% of the Thai people are Buddhists. Another 4% are either Hindu, Muslim, or some other type of religion. Well less than 1% are any type of professing Christian whatsoever. And, of course, being a Buddhist country, there are thousands of Buddhist temples called wats all over the country and thousands of statues of Buddha like you see here. They are absolutely everywhere. You see three young monks kneeling here before a quite large stone statue of Buddha. Thailand happens to be home to the world's largest statue of the Buddha, as you see here. You can see the people walking down there Actually, this picture is a little, forget how to say it, but it's actually even larger than it looks there because of some distortion. But anyway, statues are everywhere in Thailand. The Thai people are very, very superstitious. And unlike other Buddhists that you might call pure Buddhists, almost all of your Thai people incorporated other religious beliefs along with their Buddhism into their religiosity. They're very superstitious. They follow the stars. Many of them practice astrology. Many of them are animists and believe that every object has a spirit in it. Tattooing is very popular in Thailand, unlike here in America, where most of it's for adornment purposes. In Thailand, being closer to the origins of tattooing in Hinduism and India, most of the tattooing there is for actual religious purposes, giving honor to various deities, hoping to get favor and good luck and protection and things like that. The Thais also believe, and this has nothing to do with Buddhism, that every piece of land has a spirit attached to it that lives there. So every home and even your businesses like restaurants, hotels, banks, things like that will have a spirit house out in the yard or in the case of a business out in front or even inside the lobby or the foyer. And this is a house that they buy. Some are very small. Some are larger. Some are very simple looking. Some are very ornate. And this is for the spirit to live in. And they want to keep that spirit out there in its own little house so it doesn't come into their house and cause any mischief. Every morning they will put food and drink offerings early morning to honor that spirit. You can see the table here to the left with the offerings on it. This next one here is a small spirit house on a high pedestal, but it's two large tables filled with soft drinks and water, chicken, pork, rice, fruit, vegetables, all sorts of things that they put out there every morning. And of course, the next morning, it's all still there, everything except what the birds or the bugs have eaten. So they take it and they throw it all away and put out fresh food and drink offerings to honor the spirits for the next day. Aren't you thankful when you came in here tonight? There was not a spirit house up on this platform or some kind of a statue, but we came to join together to worship the one true God in spirit and in truth. Oh, hallelujah. Worshiping a God that can not only hear our prayers, but answer them, and has already himself paid the supreme sacrifice. Hallelujah. For our salvation. Praise God. Thank God for... Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you thankful you know his name? Hallelujah. What's his name? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from guilt. Free from fear. Oh, praise God. What a blessing it is to go through life now without guilt, without fear, without worry. Hallelujah. Without nervousness. Praise God. With peace in your heart. Because the Prince of Peace is living in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the West has arrived in Thailand. We have McDonald's and Burger King and KFC and Pizza Hut and 7-Eleven and all of that. We've got home delivery, and the fast food places are open 24 hours a day. So if you want a Big Mac and a chocolate shake at 3 a.m. in the morning, you can just call Ronald. About 25 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on how far you're from McDonald's, a motorcycle will pull up out in front of your apartment or your home, and you can have your Big Mac and shake or whatever it is that you like. We have a lot of elephants in Thailand. This is an actual elephant crossing street sign. And if you ever come to visit, I strongly urge you to yield the right of way to the elephant. We still have wild herds in many different areas of Thailand. And then we also have many domesticated elephants used in the work industry and in the tourist industry. The tourists love to come to Thailand and ride the elephants, feed the elephants, take their pictures. You'll even see them. They're everywhere in Thailand. You'll even see them in the city of Bangkok, even though it's against the law to bring one into city limits. Their owners will bring them anyway to the tourist areas to sell sugar cane and bananas to the tourists and things like that. My wife and I were sitting out in front of a hotel one evening drinking coffee in a busy area, and very busy street out in front, and here in the lane closest to the hotel there, came an elephant walking by with his owner up on top. And as he passed by, I saw that he had a blinking red light on his tail. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. You're going to bring this big guy into the city, put some blinkers and lights on him. He'll have a better chance for survival. We also have tigers in Thailand, still have wild tigers out in the bush. And we also have, tigers in the zoos and things like that. And we have two Buddhist temples called Tiger Temple. This is where the Buddhist monks raise these tigers from cubs. And they're not locked up in cages. They're not chained up. But they roam freely all over the temple grounds. And the tour buses will bring tourists, and you can pay an admission fee, and they'll open up the big main gate there, and you can go inside, and you too can walk among the tigers. You can sit on them, lay next to them, pet them, take their picture, whatever you like. And again, if you ever come to Thailand to visit, Mary and I would be glad to take you there. And we will wait outside while you go in and walk among the tigers. Amen. We also have a lot of snakes, hundreds of different species, many of them poisonous. Even in Bangkok, you'll see snakes, usually in the city parks and things like that. But this is a bamboo viper here. Little fellow, but he packs quite a wallop. If he bites you, you'd better get medical attention along with anti-venom serum in about 20 minutes, or you're going to be in big trouble. Took his picture at ladies' conference on the sidewalk out in front of our cabin where we were staying, and I used a zoom lens. Cobras, many, many cobras. When we took our Sheets for Christ vehicle up to the Bible college to drop it off before we came home, a deputation, the day before we got there, they killed two cobras, a king cobra out on the campus and a regular cobra inside one of the classrooms. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but, you know, the guy plays the flute and the cobra comes out of the basket moving, looks like, to the music. They're not really moving to the music. You move the flute back and forth, and they will follow. You can move your hand or your foot or whatever, because a cobra will always face movement. That's his defensive posture. So we saw a couple of guys in the corner, and I think it was $3. You could get your picture taken. I do want to point out that flute is not in my mouth. I thought about the possibly hundreds of people that had that flute in their mouth before me, so I'm faking it. It's not really in my mouth. Afterwards, he asked me if I wanted to pay another $3 for another picture while I'm holding the cobra. And I said, you must be joking. He said, oh, don't worry, we've defanged him. Now, you got to understand, this guy and his buddy are not members of the Thai Zoological Society, but they're just a couple of guys that caught some cobras, went to the store, bought a basket, bought a flute, got a pair of pliers, yanked out their fangs. And I'm thinking, well, did one of the fangs break off? Do fangs grow back? I don't know. And even if they did a perfectly good professional job, I don't want to be bitten by a cobra, even if he has been defanged. So you'll have to settle for picture number one, because I didn't buy picture number two. We also have a lot of monkeys in Thailand. You can see some getting a free ride on a bus here. And there was another group, not the ones on the bus, but there was another group down at the corner. It was very humorous to watch them. They would wait till the light turned red and all the traffic stopped. Then they would go out into the traffic, and any pickup trucks or open trucks, they'd jump in the back and start going through everything looking for food to eat. And they weren't picky. It didn't have to be what you'd consider monkey food, like bananas or something. I saw one monkey, he had a can of Coca-Cola and a giant bag of potato chips. So they like junk food too. But anyway, and if the driver would get out of the truck and chase them off, as soon as he got back in the cab of the truck, they'd come right back. And when the light would turn green and the traffic would begin moving again, all the monkeys would run over to the corner and sit down and start eating their stolen food, waiting for the next red light. So they had a real good system. On the right side of this picture, behind the bus, I don't know how clear it is out there, but there's a motorcycle, and there's four people on it. My first trip to Thailand, I saw three people on a motorcycle. It wasn't long before I saw four, and I thought, I don't think I've ever seen more than two in America. Maybe three, and I just don't remember. But we saw four, and we saw five, and then the most we ever saw for a couple of years was six. It looked like a family coming back from school because all the kids had school uniforms on. So for a couple of years, the record was six people on one motorcycle. Until this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and one in the bucket for a total of 9. You see, it's a lot more fun over in Thailand because we don't have all those laws and regulations. The government's attitude is sort of like, if you want to do something stupid, go ahead, but you live with the consequences. Amen. Thailand's called the land of smiles, and that's for a reason. Just about everybody smiles all the time. Very, very friendly people. We do have a crime rate like anybody else. There's exceptions to nice people, so to speak. But in Thailand, even while you're getting held up or robbed, a gun being held on you or a knife to your throat, he will undoubtedly be smiling. So that's why it's called that. Lady here with the big Grin is harvesting rice from a rice paddy. Thailand's the world's largest exporter of rice. This is our Bible college up in the far north part of the country, right outside the city of Chiang Rai. Very beautiful facilities. This Bible school has been a tremendous blessing to the work of God and to the church there in Thailand. Very beautiful facilities. And we have graduates now that are pastoring churches, that are assistant pastors, working in their local assemblies. Some have crossed the Mekong River into communist Laos and ministered there. We have graduates that are sitting on committees and boards and positions of leadership now. And we have graduates that have started and pioneered and raised up new works as home missionaries. So it's been a tremendous blessing to the church there. Praise God. It's a two-year course of study. Now, our admission requirements in Thailand are a little bit different from here in America. Generally speaking, in the U.S., if you want to go to Bible college, you have to be baptized to a UPC Bible college. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, living a holy life, have a letter signed from your pastor, et cetera, et cetera. In Thailand, we only have one requirement for admission. You must be breathing. If you're alive and you want to come and study the Word of God, you're welcome to come. Now, it probably wouldn't work in here, but over here, but it works over there. The reason being, after the Bible college was open for about 5 years, we pretty much used up the pool of potential students for the Bible college. So at that time, it was opened up to whosoever will. So to give you an example, this coming September, let's say there's 25 new students beginning. Probably out of those 25, 21, maybe 22 of them will be Buddhists, not even Christians. But by the end of the very first semester, just about every one of them will be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So really, the Bible college, before it's a Bible college, it's an outreach center. It's a church. And Brother Jack Kubal, our other missionary in Thailand that ministers to the Thai people, he founded the school and oversees it. Never been in the armed forces, but he pretty much runs it like a Marine Corps boot camp. Very, very easy to get in. Just sign the dotted line. But once you're in, there are rules and obligations. And out of that example I gave you, 25, usually there's one, at least one, maybe two, that leave either the first or the second day when they find out just what it's really going to be like. Amen. Getting ready for a baptismal service here. A man came to the Bible college one day. He said, my church doesn't use the Bible anymore. They don't believe in holiness anymore. So he and his family began coming to the Bible college two nights a week. Not as Bible college students, but just for a home Bible study. At the course study's end, he, his wife, and their children were all baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost, and now going to a church not far from the Bible college. Praise God. This is Yasaton and Nawanan, young married couple. After graduation, they went to Chiang Mai, second largest city in Thailand, population over 1 million people. Never had an apostolic church inside the city limits. After graduation, they went there and rented an apartment, began holding services in their home. They're having 15, sometimes 20 people attend their services. We're so thankful now that we have an apostolic church inside the city limits of Chiang Mai. Praise God. This is the Cole Tabernacle. I'm sure some of you have heard of Brother Billy Cole. He and his wife went to Thailand back in the 1960s as the first apostolic missionaries to Thailand. They were there about 6.5 years, returned to America. And in honor of them, the Cole Tabernacle was built. It is the largest Christian building in the entire country of Thailand. Praise God. It's located right in the center of the country. We have our Thai conference there every year. In February, this last February, the Lord filled 137 Thai people with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're so thankful for what the Lord is doing in Thailand. Praise God. We have hundreds receive the Holy Ghost every year, but we need thousands to receive the Holy Ghost because the need is so great. Praise God. And the Lord has demonstrated his miraculous power. We had a pastor's daughter-in-law bitten in the foot by a cobra. And she didn't die, but her foot would not heal. It was infected. They kept giving her treatments and medication. They were talking about surgery, possible amputation. She might lose her foot. But prayer was made for her. God touched her. She was completely healed. No surgery necessary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Had a young man in Bangkok, contracted tuberculosis, became very, very ill. I got a young Thai minister to go with me. We went to see him in the hospital. As I stood at his bedside, his body underneath that sheet was so thin and emaciated, it looked like a skeleton under the sheet. And his breathing was so labored and shallow, I thought, this young man's got just days, if not hours, to live without a miracle from Jesus. But Jesus gave him his miracle, and now every Sunday morning he's on the keyboard in one of our churches in Bangkok playing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can see the size of this tabernacle. It will seat well over 1,000 Thai people, and I estimate probably about 750 Americans. Picture from, some churches I go to, there's not one sound made. They don't get it, but you all got it. All right. No commentary necessary. Youth camp last year in Thailand, they divide all the campers into four groups and give them colored jerseys to identify what group they're in. And it's a lot like youth camp here. Morning is Bible classes and teaching. Afternoon, sports and games. Evening, they have church. This youth camp, I believe, 20 young people received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Triple baptism. It's hard to see the third one, but to the left of the guy in the white shirt in the shadows is a third candidate going down in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. Praise God. Youth choir singing at a large public park outreach. We're so thankful that the Thai people, the Thai church, are doing more and more on their own, not only in finances but in planning outreaches and things. One Thai pastor, I'll say this real quick because I know we're in a hurry, but one of the Thai pastors wanted to have a one-day crusade, a one-service crusade in his town, just Sunday morning. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they prepared. They handed out thousands of pieces of literature, knocked on doors, had street services. Other churches helped them. Sunday morning, they didn't know how many to expect. They averaged around 50. I never heard of this in the United States. Sunday morning, 600 first-time Buddhist visitors came to his church. Amen. It was a total catastrophe. But they did what they could, and they got everybody in the church out and had the visitors sit. That only left about 500 still outside, but they put speakers by the windows, and they went ahead and had church and had a great time. Praise God. Children's church, I'm not sure why, but in the past, the Thai attitude in the church was pretty much, all right, it's time for church. Send all the kids outside. Let them play while we have church. In fact, one Thai preacher once made the statement, God did not call me to preach to children. Thankfully, that's all changed in large part because of the Bible college, because children's ministries is part of the curriculum. So there were now graduates coming out understanding the importance of children's ministry. So now all of our conferences, Thai conference, ladies conference, youth conference, there's always children's church. And more important than that, almost all of our local churches now have children's Sunday school. And guess what? What would you think would happen? Dozens of children are receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Back to Bangkok. At this time, we only have two small churches in Bangkok. This is the Yinjit Church. They average around 50 on Sunday morning. This is the Sukhumvit Church. They run a hotel room. They probably average around 25. So most of the Thai churches are country churches. And this is one here. This is kind of unique. You see the church there with the cross on the side. This isn't just a UPC church. This is a UPC village. Because all those homes you see on the side of the hill surrounding the church building, all of those families are members of that UPC church right there. So this is a United Pentecostal Church village. Praise God. Amen. This is a typical, this is right there by the church building, just taken from a different angle to show you a typical country home, a home in the country. Has a thatch roof. It's built up off the ground. That helps things circulate under it a little bit. In Thailand, we only have three seasons. I call them the hot season, the very hot season, and the whoa, is it hot season. Now, they don't call it that. They have the hot season from February to May. Triple digits every day, 100, 105, 110, 115, sometimes higher, very high humidity. Then from June to September is the rainy season. It's when the monsoon rains move through Southeast Asia. It rains almost every day, not usually all day, a shower in the morning, a thunderstorm in the evening. Doesn't cool things off, just makes a lot of steam. And then what they call from October to January, they call the cold season. That's when it gets down, into the 70s. And my wife and I will laugh at them. It's 70 degrees, and they're putting on coats and hats and gloves, asking us, aren't you cold? And we just laugh at them. Actually, if you get up in the higher elevations, it can get quite chilly. I'm not talking about snow or ice or anything like that, but it can get chilly. This is a village church we minister at, very primitive, no plumbing, no running water, no electricity, pigs and chickens running around everywhere. In fact, while I was preaching, a pig came down the middle aisle, and no one seemed to care, so I just ignored it or tried to. We had a good service. After service, we took this picture you're looking at. You'll notice it's all women and children. The men were gone out on a hunting trip. This village is out in the middle of nowhere, no stores for groceries. So they have their pigs and their chickens and their gardens and the crops they raise. And the men go out occasionally on hunting trips to bring home meat. Now, I realize this doesn't look like too much, but this is a brand new little church. Somebody donated property for a village with the express purpose to build a church on it. It's basically a hill overlooking the village. So the funds were provided, and they built this. You can see it's very simple, very open air. The walls are bamboo. It's got a thatch roof inside. They're sitting on plastic chairs, very open on a dirt floor. But you know what? When they got in there for their first service, you would have thought they were sitting in the Taj Mahal. They were so excited they had their own place to meet and lift up the name of Jesus. They gave glory to God for what he had done, praise God. Now, I'm thankful for padded pews and carpet and electricity and all of that, air conditioning, but I do want to point something out tonight. Those people you see sitting on those plastic chairs are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. They worship the same God you do. They believe and preach the same doctrine you do. They've received the same Holy Spirit you receive. One day, we will all be in the same place. We'll all be at the same economic level. And we're not going to be walking on carpet. We're not going to be walking on dirt. But we will be walking on streets of gold. Praise God. Oh, don't you want to go there? Hallelujah. You don't want to miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. If you miss heaven, you have missed your purpose in being born. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, back to Thailand. Sometimes my wife and I feel just overwhelmed with the need there. We could have 100 missionaries just in the city of Bangkok. They would never see each other. This city swallows you up. We've sat in restaurants trying to eat our lunch or our dinner, and eyes filled with tears watching the Thai people go by through the window there. Just a multitude of people, 12 million people in one city. Probably everyone here tonight has heard about this statistic. I think it was announced probably 6 months ago now. The world's population now exceeds 7 billion people. That's a lot of people. And you would think with the more people there are, the more interaction there would be. You know, actually touching people and looking into their eyes and getting to know them. But actually the opposite is true. There's less real social interaction with people. And I suppose a big part of it is because of all the technology. There are people that are literally addicted to Facebook. And I'm not preaching against Facebook. We use it. We post scriptures and testimonies, keep in contact with our kids and our grandkids. But there are some poor souls that are addicted to it. They never even go outside. They're there all day in front of the keyboard. Oh, friends request. Ding. Oh, I've got over 2,000 Facebook friends now. But the reality is they don't have any real friends. And it's sad. You know what? We need a Facebook revival. We need to get our faces in this book. Praise God. You want to surf the internet and be involved in Facebook, that's fine. But God forbid that you would spend hours a day on Facebook and 10 minutes in this book. Hallelujah. Praise God. 7 billion people. And you know, when you think that you're only one in 7 billion, it's easy to feel maybe a little bit lost. Even as Christians, you can feel like, I'm only one in 7 billion. Does God really know where I am? Does God know what I'm going through? Does God understand me? I want you to know tonight that yes, he does. Because we don't serve a God that's sitting on a throne somewhere, millions of light years away in another dimension, that does not relate to us or does not understand us. May I remind you tonight that our God robed himself in flesh and came to this earth and became one of us. Our God knows what it's like to be a child. Our God, get this, our God knows what it's like to be a teenager. Because in the flesh he walked as a teenager. Our God knows what it's like to be a human being. And the Bible says he was tempted in all like manner as we, yet without sin. And it also says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Yes, he does understand you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he loves you with an unconditional love. You may doubt a lot of things, but don't doubt God's love for you. They sent a survey out to thousands of pastors in America, all kinds of different groups and denominations, and they asked all kinds of questions, but one of the questions was this: what do you preach and teach in your church that's the most difficult for your people to believe and accept? And of course, they got all kinds of answers, but you know what was in the number one position, the most frequent answer? The most difficult thing for people to believe and accept that's taught in our churches is that God loves them. Don't ever doubt God's love. What more could he do than come to this earth, manifest himself in flesh, walk as a man, hang on a cross, shed his blood, and die so that you could be saved? He didn't just say it with words. He proved his love. Don't ever doubt his love. He loves you. He's always loved you. Praise God. There's never been a day in your past when God ever loved you more than he loves you tonight. There will never be a day in your future when God will ever love you more than he does right this minute. In fact, there's nothing that you can do to get God to love you more than he already does. He just does, and that's what makes him such a wonderful God. Oh, yes. You can go out into the world. You can go out into sin. And if you refuse to repent, you will end up in the lake of fire for all of eternity. But he loved you so much, he's provided a way of escape so that you don't have to go to that awful place, but you can spend an eternity, praise God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight? Why don't you stand to your feet right now and lift your hands and tell him how much you love him? We love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Oh, how he loves you. Praise God. Oh, how he loves you. Hallelujah. You're going to leave here tonight knowing more about Thailand than the average person you meet on the street. I hope you will leave here tonight with a burden to some extent, that so at least occasionally you will think about Thailand and pray for the Thai people. That God will pour his spirit out in the land of smiles and bring those people out of spiritual darkness, out of superstition and idolatry, into the light. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's not good enough just to leave here informed or even with a burden. God wants you to leave here tonight changed. We go through things. All of us face a myriad of challenges as we go through life. Sin and temptation. Marital problems, family problems with spouse, parents, kids, whatever, financial problems, job, sickness, disease, pain. We're always faced with things. We're just about always going through something, and so often we complicate the solution. We think too much. Well, if God's going to do this for me, he'd have to do A and B. But if he did A and B, that would result in C, and then he'd have to do D to get. And many times we can think ourselves out of a miracle rather than just believing God by faith. It's not nuclear science, folks. It really isn't. I'm not putting down or trying to belittle anything that you're facing and try to make it seem smaller than it is. It may be a great thing that you're challenging. All I'm saying that is God is greater, and that the answer is simple. It's not complicated. Whatever you're facing tonight, whatever it may be, really when you get right down to it, the only thing you need is a touch from the hand of God. Because when God touches you, it's impossible to remain the same. You will be changed. I'm not talking about just an emotional stirring. That's good. That's all right. I'm talking about being touched by the hand of God. And we serve a powerful God. Our God could do anything. There's nothing too hard for our God. And when he walked in the flesh as Jesus Christ one day, he said, if I with the finger of God cast out Satan, you don't even need God's hand on you. Just his finger will get the job done. So this is what we're going to do these last few minutes, and I know we're watching the clock, but God doesn't need a lot of time to touch you. Would you, if you want a touch from God, by faith right now, would you step out of your seat and come down to the front and stand here? Don't kneel. I'm going to give you some instructions, and then God is going to move in this place and start placing his hands on people, and people will leave here tonight never to be the same. Don't stop at the head of the aisle because you'll block others coming down. You can spread all the way across if there's room, whatever. Come and listen as those of you that are still coming, just listen. It's very simple. I don't want you to ask God for anything tonight. If you're sick, don't ask God to heal you. If you need a job, don't ask to get. All you need is his touch. And we're not going, so forget about your needs and forget about tomorrow. And this is what we're going to do. We're just going to open our hearts and let God touch us. We're not going to reach out to touch him. There's a difference. We sing songs, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by and touch the hem of his garment. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's not what I'm talking about right now. No pressure. All we're going to do is stand here and worship the Lord for a few moments with open hearts and let him touch us. So this is what I'd like you to do. Close your eyes. It just cuts down on distractions. Lift your hands towards heaven as an outward sign of inward obedience and submission to a mighty, powerful, loving God. And then would you just open your heart and begin to worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Not begging, not even asking. Just by faith, tell the Lord, my heart is open. Touch me. And he's touching you. God wants to touch you tonight more than you want to be touched. That's how much he loves you. So would you do that for a few minutes? He's walking among you right now. Hallelujah. His hand is already on some of you. Praise God. Just keep your hands up for a little while. Would you keep your heart open and let Jesus minister to you? Let Jesus touch you. Let Jesus put his hand on you right now. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive your touch tonight, right now, Jesus. We open up our hearts tonight to you, God, and yield ourselves to you and give ourselves to you that you might do what you want with us and with our lives. Our hearts are open to your touch right now. Our lives are receiving your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, worship him. Hallelujah. Worship him. Don't go back to that same old habit of begging, pleading, not even asking tonight, just receiving. Love him while he loves you back. Give yourself to him while he gives himself to you. Just open your heart and receive what he has for you tonight. And let him place his hand on you in Jesus' name.
That's it. Let's continue to open up our hearts right now. We're just worshiping. We're worshiping. He's touching us. He's ministering. He knows your need. You don't even have to ask. This isn't an asking session. This is a receiving session right now. Father, in your mighty name, your power right now, Lord God. That's it, Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it, Holy Ghost. I feel it. I feel it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We receive right now. We receive in the Holy Ghost. We receive, oh God, we receive. Let His Spirit come down. Let Him come down and baptize you. Let Him come down, touch your heart, your mind, your spirit. Let that peace of God come upon you. Let the strength of God come upon you. He's working in areas in your life right now that you cannot even see. He is taking care of things right now. Right now, things you've been asking for, things you've been believing God for. Right now, while you worship Him, He's taking care of it. He's moving on it. He's heard your requests. He knows. And He's doing it. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We receive your blessings. We receive your blessings. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Have your way, have your way. Move right now, touch every broken heart. Touch every confused mind. Cast fear out. Cast out fear, oh God. Let the peace of God come. Let the strength of God come. Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on, some of you receiving it. Some of you are receiving it. Just by worshiping Him, you are feeling that touch in your life. You're receiving strength. Encouragement. The ability to go on. Came here tonight thinking I might as well give up. You're leaving here tonight saying, devil, you're in trouble. I'm going to go on with this. God is true. God is miraculous in my life. God is working in my life. He is doing great and mighty things. Devil, you're a liar. He's moving mountains. He's touching family situations. He's touching finances. He's touching health. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right now. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. God, fill me with your Spirit. Open your mouth. Repent of your sins. God will fill you with His Spirit. You will speak a language you never learned. God will speak through you. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. We love you. We love you. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We receive your touch. We receive your healing. We receive your deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Reach over, lay your hand upon your neighbor's shoulder. Lord, I now pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what they're going through, God, but your word tells me I can pray for them. Your word tells me that when I pray for my brother, you will hear my prayers. When I tarry for my sister, you'll be there. Lord, I invoke angels in the name of Jesus to work in their life, to work on their behalf. Move the mountains, Lord. Move the mountains that are in their life. Put strength in their heart. Encourage their spirit. Give them guidance, O God. Give them guidance, Lord. Jesus. 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 Just a moment longer, church, a moment longer. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. He is doing a work. He is doing a work. He is ministering in your life. He hears the prayers of this congregation. He's working. He's working. He's working mightily. He's moving mountains we cannot see. He's creating paths for us to go through. He is straightening the crooked path, raising the valleys and pulling down the mountains. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do that right now. Just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for what He's doing. That's it. Come on, let's be that one leper that returned and fell at the feet of Jesus. And worshiped Him and thanked Him for our healing. Thank Him for your deliverance. Thank Him for what you have received tonight. Thank Him for the way He's working in your life. Thank Him. Even if you can't see it, give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. He's doing it. I'm telling you, He's doing it. I feel it in the spirit realm. He's doing a great work. We thank you, Jesus. 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 Your power, Lord. Your anointing. Your anointing breaks the yoke. Your anointing breaks the yoke, God. Sweet Jesus. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Do you mean it? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We clap our hands unto you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Missionary Simmons and his lovely wife, for this wonderful service tonight. I placed a PIM slip. There's only one, so the first one to it gets it, but please do not take it unless you're planning on supporting them. And so if you're willing to support Brother and Sister Simmons for either $25 a month or whatever the Lord lays on your heart, $50 a month, then you can take that slip with you. We know that they're doing a great work. You can return it Sunday, or you can fill it out right now and turn it in tonight. Amen. It's right here on the platform. We're going to leave it there. If the